So did I mention it's Mother's Day? It's Mother's Day. So my message today is called Conceiving the Kingdom. Conceiving the Kingdom. So let's pray and we'll get into the Word. Father, thank you so much for the way you love us, God. It's just incredible. When we think about how you gave everything for us, Lord, and how much you desire for us to be with you and to be near you and to walk with you and talk with you and have a relationship with you, Lord, and to know you as a child to a father. It's just amazing, Lord, how much you love us. And Lord, we know that every one of us came into this world through a mom. And that's how you created it to work. And we thank you for that birthing process. And we thank you for every mother that birthed every one of us. And Lord, we know there's some crazy stories out there and some painful stories out there. But God, you're Lord over all that. And so we ask you to redeem that. If there's anyone sitting here that they're somehow or another, they're estranged from their mom, or they have just a painful history with their mom, God, we ask you to work in that. We ask you to heal that. We ask you to redeem that for your glory and for the health and the welfare and the peace and the joy of everyone that's involved in those kinds of stories. And we don't ignore that. We know that there's been some pain in people's lives, and sometimes our parents cause that pain. But Lord, we also know this, that just most every parent's just trying to get it right, and they're doing what they were taught, the way they were shown to do it, and sometimes that's good, and sometimes it's not. But Lord, we just extend mercy today. We choose to extend mercy and grace and thanksgiving toward our moms. Thanksgiving, Lord, for when they got it right, and mercy for when they didn't. Because none of them's perfect, just like we're not. But we thank you for them, and we bless them today. And we bless you. And God, we come to your word with reverence always. This is you talking to us. And Holy Spirit, you're our teacher. You live on the inside of us. You've come to guide us into all truth and show us the things to come. So, Lord, we just ask you today to give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened to know the hope of your calling, to know the glorious inheritance that we have in the saints, and that we would know the greatness of the working of your power toward us who believe. We thank you for all that, Lord. We thank you, Father, for just loving us. And we give you all the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. All right. So, conceiving the kingdom. So today is the day that we celebrate our mothers. So you might ask, what is a mother? What does that really mean? And you know, I like to do definitions. So I looked up the term mother. And the word mother is a noun and it's also a verb. So the noun for the word mother means a female parent. That was no surprise to anyone. But it also means a woman in authority. And it also means one showing maternal tenderness or affection. Yeah? And then the verb means to give birth, to mother something in that way, to give birth to something, or to give rise to something, or to care for or protect like a mother. Therefore, that term would be used and associated with that. Yeah? So, if we kind of break it down a little further, a mother is one who receives a seed, fertilizes that seed in her womb, then she nurtures and protects it until it develops into what it was created to be, and then she births it into life. That's what a mother does, by definition. And then once this baby, and I say that in air quotes because it doesn't have to be a human baby. We're going to see today. It's a lot of other things too. But once that baby is born, the mother continues to care for and nurture it until it is grown and it is self-sufficient. So that's kind of the role of a mother. So this is true. This is true in a natural sense. Like we just said, birthing children from a physical woman's womb. That's the truth of it. But it's also true in a mental sense when we talk about birthing plans or birthing ideas. You know, there's a seed that's planted in our mind. And then in our mind, we do that same developing, nurturing, protecting, and growing something until it comes out. And then it's birthed into a physical something you can see or touch or do, right? It takes life, right? So it's true mentally. But what we want to focus on a little bit today is it's also very, very true in the spiritual sense as well. Yes? It's very, very much a spiritual concept that God has ordained all of us to be mothers, even us guys. God has ordained us to be spiritual mothers of the seed of His Word that's planted in our heart. Yes? Yeah. All right. So, this is how God conceives life. This is what's called the seed principle. Yes? Both naturally in the woman's womb, but also supernaturally in the womb of our hearts. So that's what we want to look at today, is that what happens in that womb of our heart in concerning God's Word. All right, so we start in the book of beginnings. Genesis chapter 8, verse 22 says this. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. So let's look at that again. So while the earth remains, does the earth remain? Yes, of course it does. We're living on it. We're taking a ride on it right now. So these things, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, we've been doing some cold and heat. Winter and summer, we've been doing some of that. And day and night, do we get to do some of that? Has any of that changed? No, it has not. So if those things that we can physically see and sense, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night, if we already know those don't cease, then it stands to reason the other one doesn't cease either, right? It is seed time and harvest. This is a spiritual law, and it's at the very beginning of the book of the beginnings, and so we need to understand that that's how things work in the spirit realm. And if we can understand that, that will help us a ton. Yes? It'll help us be calm. It'll help us have peace. It'll help us have joy. It'll help us have patience. Right? If we can just understand that, oh, this is how this works. There's a seed that's planted. There's a growing. There's a nurturing. There's a sort of an incubation period, if you want to call it that, that takes place in spiritual things, just like it does with a natural seed. And then if we look over in Galatians 6, 7 through 9, it says this. This is really just God reiterating what He just said in Genesis 8, 22. It says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that he will also reap. For if he sows to his flesh, he will of the flesh reap corruption. But if he sows to the Spirit, he will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season, say due season. So in due season, we will reap if we do not lose heart. That's a good word right there. We could just go home on that. But we're not going to. We're going to stay a little while longer. Okay, so again, God declared this from the very, very beginning, right? That the seed principle is how He accomplishes His plan in the earth, both naturally and supernaturally, right? And physically and spiritually. That's just how it works. So then if we go back to the beginning, we remember, you know, in Genesis 3, when Adam, male and female, sinned in the garden, and that brought spiritual death, which really just meant separation from God. We know that story very well. We talk about that a lot around here. So let's go back to that. In Genesis 3, verse 15, God is talking to Satan, to the serpant that tempted Adam, female, or Eve. She was called later. You know, Adam didn't call her Eve in the beginning. You know that, right? It was Adam, male and female. It was Ish and Ishah. We haven't really talked about that a lot around here lately. But yeah, it was Adam, male and Adam, female. But they were both Adam, which Adam just meant man, mankind, right? The two of them made up mankind. It was a male and a female. In His image, He created them. Male and female created He them, right? That's what it says. Okay, So in Genesis 3:15, God is talking to the group. He has come down to see what is going on. And he is meeting out some consequences. We'll call it that. Some consequences from what happened, right? And here's what he said to the serpent. He says, I will put enmity, that means hatred. Enmity is hatred. So you could say, I will put hatred between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. And that word, her seed, that's a capital S. And when they do that in the Bible, it means they're talking about God. So there is a holy seed that's going to come. Yeah. He shall bruise your head, you shall bruise his heel. And we know who that holy seed is. That's Jesus, right? So God set this out in just right at the very, very beginning, that he knew that man had messed it up and he was going to fix it. And he fixes it the way he fixes everything, through a seed. Yeah? Through a spiritual seed. That's how God fixes everything. Y'all, we got to get that. The way God fixes everything is through a spiritual seed. And that seed, in this case, the seed's name was who? Jesus. Jesus is called the Word. The Word of God, right? So what we could really say is, what God told Satan is, you're going to bruise the heel of my Word, but my Word is going to bruise your head. My Word is going to bruise your head. Yes? Yeah. So that's a really good way for us to understand how that works. All right. So God was prophesying right there. He was foretelling what was to come, how he was going to correct what the first Adam had messed up through sin by sowing this holy seed, this sinless seed named Jesus. We could go into a whole big long thing about how Jesus was sinless and all. It's just amazing how God did all that. God is so, he's practical, but yet miraculous at the same time. And you know, people talk about, oh, faith and science are against each other. No, they're not. Not real science. Real science and the Word totally, completely agree and support one another. And the Word of God, when you read the Word of God in context and rightly divide the Word of God, it will support science and science will support it. That's just how it works. Yeah? Because who created science? He created everything, right? Well, science is really just the study of, you know, the different elements and the different things that are here and how they interact and work and all that. Well, that's God. He built all of that. It's interesting, is it, how people take the very intellect that God himself gave them and use it to deny him. But they do. Read Romans chapter 1. It talks all about that. Okay, so God's prophesying that he's going to correct what the first Adam. You know, Jesus is known as the second Adam. So the first Adam messed it up. The second Adam fixed it. Right? And so this seedless sin named Jesus, he was going to plant this seed in Mary, who was a human woman. But through that seed, he's going to defeat Satan and overcome death, sin, the grave, all of it. So we also know that Jesus, as the second Adam, he was the firstborn of many brethren, right? And we know that 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone be in Christ, they are a new creature. And we know that if you break that word down, new creature, in the original Greek, it means a species of being that never existed before. And I love talking about this. I can't really get on that today, but I would love to just chase that rabbit right there about what it really means being a new species and all that, right? It's so good. We've talked about that several times here before, but that's not really where I'm heading today. So we're going to keep trucking on here. But that's so important for us to understand that we are truly, we get a new heart. We become a new person. On the outside, we look the same. And even our mind still works the same, but our spirit, the very essence of who we are, is reborn, right? We become a new creature. We have new life. The Word says in one place that we should walk in newness of life if we believe in Jesus. All right, so here's this second Adam, And he's going to create this new species of being. And on the outside, we still look the same. But on the inside, we have what the Bible calls the divine nature. God's very nature. We have the mind of Christ, right? But we actually have the heart of him, too. We have his heart living on the inside of us. Yeah? And then he's even in there, too. The Holy Spirit himself lives inside of us. Don't you know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says? Yes. We are living, breathing, walking, talking temples. And the Holy Spirit resides on the inside of us if we belong to Jesus. That is an amazing miracle, that. It's just crazy. So anyway, Jesus did become what the Bible calls the firstborn of many brethren. And really what that means is just that, you know, Jesus died on the cross physically, right? His heart stopped beating. Had there been a doctor there, if they'd have done it the way we do it today, they would have declared him dead. They would have put time of death, whatever that time was in the afternoon when he breathed his last breath. Then his body was put in the grave. His spirit left. And Peter says that Jesus literally went and preached to those who were in prison. And in another place in Peter, he says in hell. So Jesus literally went to hell. But remember, there was two parts of hell. There was the lake of fire down there. And we saw that in the story of Lazarus and the rich man, didn't we? Where the rich man was being tormented in flames, but Lazarus was in a place called Abraham's bosom. Remember that? Well, that's where all the believing Jews went. Before Jesus came, they didn't go to heaven. They went to Abraham's bosom. And so Jesus went down there, and can you imagine this? You know, they're down there. They're spirits. But every day, new guys and gals come in to that place, right, when they die. Well, then one day, here this guy comes in, and he goes, "Hi, can I have your attention? My name is Jesus. I'm from Nazareth. I'm the Messiah. Yes. All you prophets here, Daniel, I'm the one you wrote about." and they're going, "What?" Put yourself in their shoes. I mean, Abraham, I'm your seed. I'm him. I'm the one, right? Adam, you remember that day in the garden when God said there was going to be a seed that was going to bruise the serpent's head? I'm him. This is the conversation he had with them. And he told them who he was. And he said, "In less than 72 hours, I'm going up out of here. And if you want to come, you can come." Can you imagine this conversation taking place? But that's what happened. Why? Because that's how God works. There's a whole other thing we could get into on that too, about just the fairness of God, how God's fair to every person. I'll just say this, then I'm going to move on. There's even a reason, if you've probably ever wondered about this, if you read the book of Revelation where it talks about for 1,000 years that Satan is going to be chained up in the bottomless pit. But at the end of 1,000 years, he's going to be released on the world to deceive the nations. Do you know why that is? Because that's how fair God is. Because God's not going to have even Satan stand before him and say, "It ain't fair. All those people that were here on the earth for 1,000 years, I didn't even get a chance to tempt them." But God's going to say, "Oh, yes, you did. I let you back out at the very end. And you had one last chance at everybody that had never been tempted by you." And you put God in that perspective, it'll help you understand how loving and kind. And God is just amazing. Yes? There's a whole lot more to that. We don't have time to get into that today. But that's kind of what that's all about. And when you start thinking about God that way, you think, boy, God is not only not fair, you know what I'm saying? But he's like, goes way beyond being fair. He's more fair than I would ever be. If I had Satan in that pit, I'd never let that sucker back out. But God's going to let him out so that he can tempt those people that are on the earth. Because he's not going to have him be able to point his finger at God and say, "You were unfair to me." No, God's the fair and the righteous judge. Yes? Isn't that amazing? So anyway. All right. So Galatians 3:16 and 29 says this, "Now to Abraham and his seed," and again we have that capital S, "now to Abraham and his seed where the promise is made." He does not say, "and to seeds as of many," but as of one, "and your seed," talking to Abraham, "who is Christ. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and you are heirs to the promise." And that's what we were just talking about. Because Jesus said, "I came that the promise of Abraham might come upon the" who? "The Gentiles," us, people who were not born in, with Jewish blood, right? Who were not born into the covenant. That would be us. But Jesus, when he tore the veil, it said he tore down the veil of separation, not just the veil in the temple. That was just a symbol of what he did in the spirit realm. But what he did, he tore down the veil that stood between the Jewish people and the rest of creation, which was referred to as the Gentiles. And it says from the two, he made one. And we were grafted in, Paul said. He said, we were grafted into that vine. Whew, I'm thankful for that. I don't know about you guys. I'm so thankful for that grafting thing. Yeah? Because that's how we got in. Salvation is from the Jews. Don't throw the Jews out with the bathwater. The Jews are, that's God's chosen people, and they will always be God's chosen people. He hasn't divorced himself from them. Yeah? We just got in there with them. Praise God. All right. So God's word in us is that seed that bruises the head. But again, that seed is Jesus. Jesus is the word. So if you could just say, God's word in us is what bruises Satan's head on a daily basis. Yes? He bruised him at the cross. And every time we speak his word in faith, we bruise. And I say we. Jesus just kicks the devil in the head again. That's good to know. Yeah? But he's bruising his head. What does that mean? What is his head made up of? That's his authority. That's his organization. His deceptions. His lies. His temptations. All that. Jesus kicks him in the head every time we speak his word in faith. Yes? That's so good to know. So the other thing that happens when we do that, we're just following Jesus' example. You remember when he was tempted in the wilderness? So he was baptized in water. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He came out of the water. The Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness for 40 days. You remember that? He didn't eat anything. He didn't drink anything for 40 days. Well, that was a miracle right there. Because most people would have just died from that. Yes? But for 40 days he was out there, and then the devil came and tempted him. And what did the devil tempt him with? The same thing that he tempted Adam, male and female, with. He said, did God really say? He always tempts according to God's word. He always twists God's word. He always messes around with God's word. Because he knows God's word is the truth. God's word is the authority. God's word is the seed. It's the seed that everything of faith grows from. Right? Yes, and we all have that seed in our hearts. When the Bible says that God has given to everyone a measure of faith, that word measure, you could just take that word out and put seed. God has given to everyone a seed of faith. And faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Right, and so what God is really saying is, I've already put a little thing in your heart. It's a seed that when my word touches that, it springs to life. Yes? That's what happens. It springs to life. So then you could take that thought, that concept, and go back to the parable where Jesus talked about, and the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some of the seed fell on the stony ground. And the birds came and they flew off with it. And some of it fell on ground where there was very shallow earth. And then some of it fell on the ground where the thorns were. But then some of it fell on good ground. And then he talked about the effect of that in different people's lives. Of how that seed, the treatment of that seed, what ended up from that, right? And so, and you'll hear this in Christian circles. It's like, oh, we're good ground. We're good ground. That's a good confession. Is to say, God, I'm good ground. That means my heart is open to receive the word of God, whatever he says to me. Yeah? And it's going to always be, believe me more, trust me more, follow me more, put yourself aside. That, didn't we just recently hear that? By the Spirit of God, set yourself aside. Set yourself aside. Take up your cross and follow me, Jesus said. Yeah? He never said it was easy, but it's simple. It's real simple. Lay yourself down, pick up your cross, follow him. That's simple. That's really simple. Stop following yourself. Stop following your own desires, your own plans, your own way, your own thoughts. And get in the Word and find out what are his ideas, his plans, his thoughts, which are always higher than ours, right? And go with that. Yes? That's all he's asking us to do every day, is just love him and follow him. And as we follow, he will tweak us. He will challenge us. He will change us. Yeah? He will. That's how it works. All right. So all we're doing in this whole process is we are following his example. When he just, and everything the devil threw at him, what did he say? It is written. It is written. It is written. It is written. Three times. Right? He just put the word right back on him. And even when he took the word, when he took the word out of context, Jesus put the word right back on him in context. Yes? Because that's what he always does. He takes it out of context and he distorts it and twists it. And he makes it sound good. And you think, oh yeah, that's God's word. That sounds good. Well, but is it in context of the way God said it? Right? This is why we have to know the Word. We have to know the Holy Spirit. Yes? Because then when it comes in a twisted way, you go, wait a minute. That's not right. You'll do exactly what Jesus said. Well, it's also written, right? Because he told him, oh, it's written. He'll give his angels charging you, and they'll hold you up in their hands so you won't even strike your foot against a stone. Well, was that true? Of course it was. But Jesus turned right around and said, yeah, but it's also written, you will not put the Lord your God to the test. Right? So there was some context to it. You have to rightly divide the Word of God, right? Yeah. It's good stuff. But man, when we do that, we just stick close to God. Like he told Joshua, do not stop this word from coming out of your mouth. Yeah, and you will have success. All right. So then God went on to Isaiah, and he further revealed his plan. Isaiah 7 and verse 14 says this, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And I said, a word. She's going to bear a word, the living word, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. That's Isaiah 7:14. Okay, so we know this. Jesus had to be born of a virgin so that his blood would be sinless. Because if a male human had planted the seed in Mary, that would have been corrupted blood, right? See, this is what I'm talking about, the science and how God, even science supports God. So the Holy Spirit had to supernaturally put that seed in her so that it was not from earth. It was an unearthly seed. It was a heavenly seed. The process was still the same. He's planted that seed in her womb. That seed that he planted in there joined with that egg and was fertilized and it became a Jesus. It became a man called Jesus. But his blood was pure because it was heavenly and it was supernatural and it was not from a natural process. It was from a supernatural process. And it had to be or his sacrifice would have been worthless. We'd still be killing goats and sheep today if it had not been for that seed planted by the Holy Spirit. So see, that's a giant thing. That's a giant thing. So when you hear people say, oh, Jesus wasn't really born of a virgin, stop. Stop. Because if he wasn't, then just eat, drink, and be merry. Right? Because it's over. What did Paul say? If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, we of all people on earth are the most pitiable. Well, it's the same thing. If he wasn't born of a virgin, forget it. It's over. Yeah? Because his sacrifice wasn't pure. But we know this, his sacrifice was pure. Yes? Awesome. All right. Okay. So let's see. Oh yeah, I like this part. I got time for this part. Okay, so at the appointed time, God sent his angel to this teenage girl named Mary, right? who was going to carry God's seed of salvation for the whole world. And what did he say? Luke 1, 30 and 31. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus." Y'all listen. God is saying the same thing to us today. He's saying the same thing to us. What is he saying? Don't be afraid, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb, your spiritual womb, in your heart. You will conceive and you will bring forth a word. You will bring forth a Jesus. A living word will come forth from your heart. Now don't get crazy on me. We're not going to birth Jesus. You know what I'm saying. Stay with me on what I'm saying. But it's the same thing. Jesus is the living word and we have the written word. And so when we know the written word and we speak the written word out of our mouth from a heart of faith, what happens is we take that written word, we put it in our heart. The same way Mary took the seed from the Holy Spirit and was put in her womb. And she said, "Be it unto me." And this is what she said to the angel. It's not in my notes, but she said, "Be it unto me according to your word." Well, when she did that, that set everything in motion. Because she had to be what? Willing and obedient, right? To eat the good of the land. Do we have to be willing and obedient to eat the good of the land? Of course we do. We're exactly like her. Nothing changes. There's nothing new under the sun. And so in that same way, that angel came to her and said, "Don't be afraid. You have found favor with God. You will conceive in your womb and you will bring birth to a godly thing." It's the same way with us. That is how it works. Day in and day out, from sunrise to sunset. What did we say we'd have? Nightfall and daytime and winter and summer and cold and heat. So it doesn't matter what's going on in the natural realm. The sowing and the reaping, the seed and the harvest, that is going to be the same. Yeah? Isn't that good? That should get you excited. That should give you some hope. When we conceive in our spiritual wombs or in our hearts a son, the word of God. And when we speak that word by faith, he faithfully performs it or births it on our behalf. Man, that's good to know. And then, you know, that goes back to when Jesus in Mark 4:14, that's where he said, "The sower sows the word." Jesus told his disciples that. So again, he's just reiterating these principles to us, right? And so if he told that to his disciples then he's telling that to us today. The sower sows the word. And, you know, let me just remind you, Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he said that then, that holds true today. His word never changes. His word is settled forever in heaven. Then Matthew 24:35 says this, Jesus talking, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." Yes? So you can take it to the bank. All right, so we've got just a few minutes here. I'm going to give you a couple of lists of things just to get you some food for thought. So if we're to sow the seed of God's word, like Jesus said, then let's look at a pregnant woman and what she does while she's carrying a human seed. And let's see what we can apply to a spiritual seed. This will be fun. Okay, so first, when a woman finds out she's pregnant, she doesn't tell anybody. Are you with me? No, she tells everybody. And what does she say? "I'm expecting." I'm expecting. What are you expecting? A baby. And she can tell you all pretty much about what's going to happen, right? There's going to be a process. I'm going to have to wait. While I'm waiting, the baby's going to be growing in me. But then there's going to come a point when the baby is going to be birthed, and then we will see the baby and we'll be able to hold the baby, right? And that I always say this about women that are pregnant. I'm like, "No, you're not going to have a baby. You have a baby." I call them the inside kind. You have an inside baby, and then on about 9 months or so, you're going to have an outside baby, right? But you have a baby, especially when that thing starts, after a few months, it starts dancing around in there. I've never had one, obviously, even though I probably look like I'm going to have one. But I remember putting my hand on her stomach, on Melanie's stomach. We have three daughters. And I will never forget that very first time. Woo. I laid my hand on her stomach and I felt a little something. I don't know what it was, an elbow or a heel or a knee or something went whoop right across. And I was just like, oh my gosh, somebody's in there. Come on, dads. Do you remember that day? Do you remember the very first time you put your, and you went, oh, what was that? Yeah, there's something in there. Yeah. It's a person. It's not a something. It's a somebody. Yes? Well, it's the same thing for us. There's a something and a somebody inside of us, and it's called Jesus. The Word is inside of us working in our hearts, right? Okay, so the first thing she does, she says, I'm expecting. So that's what we should be doing. If we're going to talk about it. Now listen, there's times in spiritual things you don't need to say anything. Well, again, let's think about Mary. Mary kept some things quiet for a while, didn't she? Mary pondered some things in her heart. And then when the time was right, Elizabeth, her, remember? The same thing. Elizabeth was pregnant. She had been barren all her life and she was older. And the Lord blessed her with John the Baptist. And she was pregnant. And man, y'all, listen. I truly believe that a whole lot of that, of John the Baptist and the way that went down, God did that to reassure Mary that he was going to, that he was here, he was acting, and he was going to do what he was going to do, and it was going to be okay. I really believe that was what a lot of that was about. Yes? Yeah. So there are times with spiritual things that you just need to don't say anything until the baby's born. But that's where we just follow the Holy Spirit instead of just running around going, hey, 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 hey. Yeah, because you can mess things up sometimes. You can. Yep. But she says she's having a baby. But you know what's interesting? In the first trimester, can you look at her and tell she's having a baby? Nope. Is there any outward sign that she's having a baby? Nope. What is there? There's this. There's nausea. Yes. Yep. And there's some of that with us with the spiritual baby too, isn't there? Well, this better hurry up and happen, and God better answer my prayer. Right? Mm-hmm. There's some vomiting that goes on sometimes in the early stage. Thank you for that, because I didn't even think of that. But, ooh. Yeah. But listen. Oh, and here's a good thing about the mercy of God. Because I've heard people say this. Well, you know, if you're in faith and then you make a bad confession, you can just undo all your faith. No, your faith is about what you're believing in your heart. We're humans, aren't we? Anybody ever had a positive thing one day and the next day it was all negative? Think God doesn't know that? Do you really think that God is like that? That he is watching you, and if you say one wrong word out of your mouth, he's going to say, well, they were believing me for that, but today they had a little bit of doubt, so I'm just going to wreck the whole plan? Do you really think he's like that? No, but I'm telling you, there's people in this church that will talk to you that way. Well, you better not have any negative confession, and you better... No, that's works. Hello? That's called, it all depends on me. No, it does. Nothing depends on you except believing. You believe in your heart, you do confess out of your mouth, absolutely. So the very best that you can, you confess out of your mouth what you're believing. But if you goof up, that doesn't mean it's over. Hello? Right? Just like with a mom, in those first few weeks, she's getting sick and throwing up and feeling nauseated and everything. That doesn't mean the baby's not in there. That doesn't mean the baby's not growing. In fact, that's confirmation that something's happening in there. That's good, isn't it? All right. So, but in the first trimester, there's really nothing to see. But then as the seed keeps growing and she gets closer to her delivery date, it becomes more and more apparent, right? More and more apparent. And, yeah, like I said, that's how it works with spiritual seeds sometimes. But then at the appointed time, when everything is in place and the timing is correct and the baby is prepared, what happens? Boom, that water breaks and out comes a baby. Yes? Yeah. Because that's the way God designed it to work. And guys, it works the same way in our heart. We cannot put God on a timetable. I say this all the time about babies. We just went home and saw our beautiful little twin nieces. They're a month old today, Paige and Emma. They're twins, obviously. There's two of them. It makes them twins. But see, they were premature. They were born at 33 weeks. Well, statistically, twins are born at about 37 weeks. So even then, twins typically, statistically, are born 3 months earlier because 40 weeks. What did I say? 3 months? Three weeks. Yeah, not 3 months. 3 weeks. But here's what I always say. When babies are ready, they're coming. You can't stop them, and you can't make them come. It's the same with spiritual stuff, y'all. Oh, if we could just get a hold of this. When God's ready for it to come, you cannot stop it. But until God's ready for it to come, you cannot make it come. You can't. It's working. God's working in there. He's doing something. And timing. God is always about timing, man. He's the timing God. Yes? All right. Okay, so here's a couple more things, and then we're going to have communion. All right. So if she's wise during her pregnancy, there are certain things that she avoids that would harm the seed in a natural sense, right? And we know what a lot of that stuff is. So she probably would not smoke. Doctors say don't smoke when you're pregnant. Don't drink alcohol when you're pregnant. Don't take drugs when you're pregnant. Avoid unhealthy foods when you're pregnant, right? And also avoid risky behaviors. Well, you know what? We should probably do some of that too. You know what I'm saying? And when I say unhealthy foods, again, I'm talking about a spiritual baby now. What's unhealthy food? Things that you feed on, right? Avoid worldly junk. That's the, man, when you are percolating something from God and you are just in there believing God, man, stay in the Word of God. Stay in prayer. Stay in worship. Stay hooked up to the church family. Stay hooked up with people of faith that are believing with you, that will encourage you in your faith. Get off the world. Get off the lies. Get off the deception. Get off the junk. Get off the doubt and the unbelief. Because there's people all around you that will speak that junk into you, and it can affect the seed. It can. Oh, God. What? You're not ever, you're believing God for a job. Well, you ain't ever going to get a job. Right? Man, that goes right against the thing that you're believing for. You're believing God for whatever it is. You're believing God for your healing. Well, you know, everybody in your family's just been sick their whole life. You're going to be sick your whole life. You ain't ever going to get better. What do you mean you're believing God to get better? And you all know there's people that'll talk to you that way. And I will tell you, it's hard to stay in faith when that unhealthy food is being forced down your throat. But the healthy food is the Word of God, the promise of God, worship, prayer. Yes? Spending time with your brothers and sisters in faith who will encourage you in your faith, who will tell you, man, you're going to make it. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it feels like. God's got you. God loves you. God's working. He's going to bring it to pass. Just be patient. Don't give up. Hang in there. Right? Okay. So that would be some of the positive things. Eating healthy foods. Staying hydrated. That would kind of relate to worship. We talk about living water, right? That's really just spending time with God and worship. Maybe even taking supplements. Like if you're believing God for healing, get some books on healing. Watch some videos on healing where people are teaching on healing. Or where they're conducting healing services where you see the power of God in action. Do things that will feed your faith. Yes? Yeah. These are all good things for us to do. Follow your doctor's advice. That would be people like me that are in your life. God puts spiritual leaders in your life to help you in your faith, right? So what happens when you're not feeling good? You go to the doctor, don't you? Well, if something's bothering you in your spirit and you're upset or you feel doubt and unbelief or fear or whatever it is, call us. Or call your stream group leader or whatever. Call somebody. Call your battle buddy from this church that you know walks with God, that you know has faith. And just tell them, hey man, here's my symptoms. Oh, I know what that is. That's just a little bit of fear. That's okay. Let's let the love of God, let me love on you. The love, perfect love casts out all fear. Because fear has torment. Right? Yeah, man. Follow the doctor's advice. Get plenty of rest. Just all those good things, right? Oh, and here's another really, really good one. So a couple that's expecting a baby, what do they do to their home? They what? They prepare it. What do? They prepare a place for the child when the child is going to be born, right? They prepare a place. So I've shared this testimony before, but I'm going to share it again because it's one of the best ones I know. There was a couple, because it relates directly to this, because it was about a baby. But it was also about believing God. There was a couple in our church in Atlanta named Travis and Melanie King. And Travis and Melanie King had two little boys, and she was pregnant with their third boy, and the only truck they had was a truck. They had a single cab pickup truck. And that was the only vehicle they had. Well, they were praying and believing God that they would be able to get a van, you know, like a minivan, because they had so many babies. They didn't have anywhere to put them. I mean, I guess, you know, we were in Georgia, so you could have strapped them in the back, I guess, you know. I grew up in Tennessee. I rode my whole childhood on the fender well of a pickup truck with, and there weren't no seat belts back there either. Nah, I'm just saying. Didn't wear a helmet when I rode my bicycle either. But anyway. So anyway, they were believing God for a van. And one day, Travis drove his truck into the driveway for work, from work. And he was just crying out to God. And he was like, God, this baby's going to be here in like 3 weeks. And we have got to have a van. We've got to have a van. And the Holy Spirit spoke up inside of him and said, where are you going to put it? You have not even prepared a place to park it. So I'm not sure you believe you're even going to get one. And he said, the Lord really just kind of corrected him. And he said, oh, I got that. Because he was a contractor, he was a construction contractor. He backed that truck right out of the drive. He went down to wherever. He bought a load of gravel. He went back home. He went in the garage. He got a shovel out. And he dug the grass out next to his driveway. And he put some 2x4s down there, getting it ready for concrete. And he poured all that gravel in there. And he raked it out. And he said, Lord, there's my place for my van right there. I'm prepared a place to put the thing that I'm believing you for. That same week, a couple in our church had just bought a van and paid cash for it. And it was a used van, but it was super clean. It was super nice. And the Lord told them, you need to give that van to the Kings. And so they took the van right over there and said, the Lord told us to give you this van. But it did not happen until after they prepared the place to receive the thing they were believing God for. Y'all, that's big. I'm telling you, that's big. Isn't that an awesome story, though? And it's not a story. It's an account. It's a testimony to God's faithfulness. And was God being mean to them? No. What God was just trying to do was get them on board with some spiritual principles. Yes? So if you believe you receive, how many times have I talked about you believe you receive over here, and then you wait. Patience has its perfect work, and then you will have. Mark 11:24. Believe you receive when you pray, and you will have. And this thing in between is James 1. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse testings, temptations, and trials, knowing this, that the working of your faith brings about patience. And patience must have its perfect work. Because that's what faith is. Faith is patience. Faith is waiting. Because faith is the evidence of what? Things hoped for. It's the evidence of things hoped for. Now faith is the substance. Thank you. See, I knew I had to just stop and say it from the beginning. It is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of the things not seen. And I heard a really good preacher one time say that word evidence means title deed. It's the title deed to the thing that you're hoping for. Well, what's a title deed? A title deed is the piece of paper that you have in your hand that says legally it belongs to you. even though you may not have received the car yet, but when you prayed, God mailed you the title. And you've got the title that says, that van, in Travis's case, that van belongs to me. And in the time he was waiting, that was where God had to teach him, don't just sit and wait. Get your shovel and get out there and work and serve and act like you believe it's coming. Wow. Woo! That's some good preaching right there, y'all. Thank you, Brother Howard. I'll just go ahead then. Let me keep going then. Praise God. That's just good, isn't it? All right, so what's the bottom line? Remember we read Galatians 6, 7 through 9. What was verse 9? Verse 9 says, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season. What is due season? That means when the time is right. In due season, when the time is right, we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Man, that's God's promise to us, y'all. That is God's promise to all. So it's Mother's Day. Let's just determine that we're going to be good mothers. Yes? That we're going to receive the seed of God by His Word. And we're going to nurture that Word. And we're going to do the healthy things, the restful things, the protective things that we need to do. And we're not going to do those other things that might hurt the seed until the seed is birthed. Yes? And then we're going to prepare like we know it's on the way. Yeah. Praise God.